Welcome to Let's Talk Golf. I'm your host, Penny Gaylor. Welcome everybody, I'm Penny Gaylor, your host, to another episode of Let's Talk Golf, and today's guest is Hamish Blair from Golf Warehouse. Welcome, Hamish.
Welcome, thank you. It's first time me doing something like this, so thank you for the invite.
Oh, well, I'm sure you'll enjoy it because it's really just a bit of a yarn about things that both of us are really enjoying. I'm the newbie in the room to golf. How long have you been doing golf?
I started as a young boy at about 13 or 14 at the driving range I work at now, and now, sad on the air, I suppose I'm 39, so it's been a wee while, you know. But working in the industry for about 22 years. So
what's your specific role at Golf Warehouse?
National Training Manager, and that's sort of covering all 15 stores that we've got, soon to be 16, and then making sure that the service that you're getting from a customer's point of view is top notch, and it's a pretty busy role. So
you've got another store coming. Any chance that store is going to be in Kapiti or Horowhenua?
I'm sorry, not this stage.
But you're working on that for
there's
us?
There's always a thought. It's just getting the right size, to be honest.
Yes.
And there's a bit of a blueprint on what our directors are looking for. And at this stage, it's not quite there, but it's definitely something that I'm poking for sure. Mm.
Oh, please do. I'm finding, having started out in recent times, we've got a lot of good golf courses. We've got the project that they're doing, the Lions and Rotary are doing for Golf for Good with the mini golf. There's talk of another course up in Ohau.
It's all cool, isn't
it? I've heard of interest around people wanting to develop a driving range.
Yes.
That would be good for you to pair with.
Yeah.
Are they franchises or is
no?
It
they're
one
not.
Period?
They're owned by owned privately, and there's a group of four that are very heavily involved in the business day to day, 7 days a week, and work harder than all of us. So, it's a cool family business that's growing bigger and bigger.
Yes, well, so I took up golf and I'd had a couple of lessons, realizing that I didn't have any club at all. And so I was setting off to go to the driving range at Seaview.
Yes.
And then between the car park and Seaview, you walk through the shop, and in there, like, amazing amount of products. And for me, it was like, oh my god, there's so many different brands, so many different clubs, so overwhelming. And then somebody came over and said, how can I help?
Pretty much. Yeah. Service has to come first, and it's, I suppose, it's like walking into a shoe shop. There's many, you can have one black shoe in size 10 to suit you, and you kind of want three or four different options to compare. Otherwise, you might not be getting the right sound, feel, look that works for you. But we take you through a pretty extensive process, no matter what level you are, to allow you to improve and sort of future-proof it for you. Not everyone's going forward. Some people are on maybe the other side of the hill that are trying to maintain.
Yes,
but
yes.
It's a real thing. And, we're just trying to make you comfortable so your equipment isn't the thing you're moaning about when you're on the course.
No. The wind, the rain.
Exactly.
Something I really enjoyed is you actually get to test out your clubs.
Yes.
So the big screens, what are those called and how does all that work?
Yeah, so they're launch monitors, and what they're going to work out is like many different points, but our job is to figure out and relate it to you in layman's terms, simplify everything. And so it's going to read a ball speed in simple form. It's going to read your club head speed, your launch angle, your spin rate. And this is all to create the ball to fly correctly. And then it's going to show you your carry distances, your grouping, how far offline, and a number of different things, all the way down to very, very minute parts of your golf club and where it's positioned at impact. So
it's an amazing amount of information that you can get from just your hit into what is a screen.
Yeah, it's kind of like if we're talking about cars, it's the Formula One that everyone gets to use, a Formula One car that everyone gets to use, you know. So it's pretty special. And for you, Penny, that got to walk in it for the first time, you got to experience it. And still smiling today. So it's a really cool thing.
It was really good fun. And that experience was like, so they said, oh, well, come and try these clubs and try this driver. And so I hit the first one, you know, you're, you know, 90 and next one 92 and next one 95. And so by the time I left, having purchased the set, which, you know, I still have, and I was, you know, 120. So then I did some lessons, and we recently had Kevin Smith on, who's based at the Ōtaki Club, and I've been having lessons with him. So one day I launched a 191-metre shot, and, you know, so this is the exciting progress. But, like, from that base information, picking apart even the amateur of me, I could kind of go, oh, this is how you can pick apart your shot.
Yeah.
And see the different kind of things that you might be doing with it. So there's a lot to think about in a shot.
There's a lot. And so when we're trying to find the right club for someone, both yourself and me, or even my uncle or even my boy, we have the same launch window that we're trying to hit the ball through.
Mm-hmm.
And different powers then determines how quick that's going to get up. So for me, hitting it a little bit harder, I need to launch it lower to hit that window. For you, you might need to launch it a bit higher. So we have different lofts of clubs that we need to look at, different weights of clubs, different lengths of clubs, different head types as well, which is crucial to make your set makeup. So for yourself to know your distances is more important than knowing your direction. So getting out there and knowing your distances will improve your game pretty damn fast, you know. And so that got you, as you say, a base. You've got something to work on, which then helps your scorecard, which then helps your scoring better, and it all improves from there along with the golf swing. It's pretty cool experience. And, I mean, as I say, you've just played nine holes and you're smiling right now because you've won your first ever tournament.
Competition,
you might say. Yeah, ball.
It's very exciting. It's a very special ball.
It's a great day.
They'll stay in my handbag or on the mantelpiece or somewhere.
There's a lot of stories to be said from now on, and they might grow to something bigger, but, like, I think it's so cool, right?
Yeah.
Like, you've got these little moments in your week that before might have been filled up with work, but now you've had
had
a bit of sport and a bit of competition and you're living. It's great.
Yes, and so the, you know, wondering, like, what the experiences of what you're finding, kind of like patterns of people purchasing. You know, so women come in. I remember the chap said to me, "Oh, women tend to purchase kind of the pre-done packaging clubs," which is what I did.
Yes.
And then what might be the difference of kind of chaps who come in?
Yeah, cool. So the chaps, I'll probably start with ladies first, right? Mm. So ladies are going to walk in. Everyone's got a different speed that they create through strength.
Mm-hmm.
And how the flex of club works, it starts at ladies, then there's a thing called senior or light flex, regular, stiff, and extra stiff, and flex.
Yeah.
Now, it's probably a bit unfair that it's called ladies, but it is.
Mm.
My wife uses stiff shaft men's clubs through being a bit more powerful, but if we come in to say that most ladies are coming in at the mid to later ages of their lives as, from a most, their speed is at their maximum right now.
Yeah.
So we can find that what's going to go with them for a longer period of time quicker. And we get them into a ladies flex most of the time. And that's going to allow the club to be generally is lighter. It's a little bit shorter. And it's also going to create more flex to allow the ball to get in the ear easier and also dampen the vibration so it feels nicer.
Ah, right.
So when you swing slower, the ball's on the face for a little bit longer, so it feels a bit heavier. And so we want it to feel as nice as possible. Now, price point is a real thing as well when you're shopping for any product. So packages, where pre-set up packages set up in the store, and they range between $850 and about $3,000, depending on the quality. And they are the general setup that are going to work for someone starting the game.
Mm.
Now, that doesn't matter whether you're a man or a lady, but if you haven't got a consistent swing yet, you're going to see the benefit of learning through the full range, and that's going to give you about a 10 to 12 piece set. You're allowed 14.
Mm-hmm.
Then as you start to get into it a little bit more and you know your distances, like what we talked about a couple of minutes ago, when you start to know those more consistently, then you can start to see where gaps might appear in your set.
Mm.
And they could be a 7-wood that you don't currently have. That could be a gap wedge between your pitching wedge and sand wedge. That could be a lob wedge. That could be a 9.5-degree driver instead of a 10.5-degree driver in a package. And you just refine from there as you start to grow. And if you're hitting at 190 metres on your best shot, Penny, you're...
Best shot with a tailwind.
With a tailwind, you've got to count it all. But you're going to start asking those questions upon yourself.
Oh, yes.
Especially if you play with your best friend, Sally, that suddenly gets a new driver and outperforms you who wasn't.
Oh, yes. I'll be in there pretty quick.
Then you start... asking those questions, and when you start asking those questions, that's when the refinement happens. Hopefully that makes
sense. Yes, actually recently I did pop back in, I was going to the driving range, but again just hovered around and asked some questions and said, I'm thinking about what the next club investment will be into the bag. And so we tested out some woods, and it was just really and getting knowledge. It was actually, thank you, it was a bit of a free lesson. Much appreciated. But, getting that knowledge from, I don't know, so it was, there's so much to learn, and every club's got different kind of offerings. So how, I have the flexi shaft, if I was wanting to go even further than, say my usual 160, would I go to a stiff shaft?
Only if you're creating the power to get the ball in the air. So if you go stiffer, or heavier, by the way.
Yeah.
So if it's as little as 10 grams of weight can affect it by a mile an hour, your speed by a mile an hour. And then if it's heavier and stiffer, it's going to go lower to the right. And if it's lighter and more flexible, it's going to go higher left.
Okay.
Because it's going to flex more or flex less.
Yeah.
So you kind of want that perfect one for your average. It's not always going to be the flex that's going to determine that distance for you. There's a little bit of you. There's in regards to the swing. There's contact. So if you've got something too heavy, you can't keep the right shape within your swing, and you actually have more bad shots than good shots.
Right. So Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore has some funny shapes. So if you're out there watching at the moment, the new one's just come out, and that's quite fun to watch.
They're putting it through Facebook feed quite a bit.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
My kids have just watched it twice and already got into the Full Swing Netflix and now wanting to play golf, which is quite cool. So it works.
Yeah. So then popping back to my question around chaps, what do they come in and kind of get?
Yeah, so slightly different powers. So if you can imagine there's blokes that might swing of your speed and for no right or wrong reasons, they could have ailments. And then there's some guys that have gone to the gym far too much and swing a lot faster or a lot freer with less thought. So it's just purely a speed thing. So there's a wider range. And when you start swinging quite powerfully, you quite often need to smoothen that tempo out and manage it rather than just be all guns blazing. So you might have a heavier club that could be a steel shaft or a heavier graphite, which allows the flight to stay lower.
Mm. So when we've got the lights of, now I'm hooked on watching it as well. But now it's really interesting because I'm listening for, what club choice they're doing and all the work that the caddy's doing and the kind of little conference that they're having with the player. So the lights of Rory McIlroy, who's one of the sort of the top driving players in the world. What kind of, so he'd be a stiff shaft?
Extra stiff.
Extra, oh my God.
Yeah, so the next speed, his ball speed with a driver is a bit between 180 and 190 miles an hour. Now yours probably swinging at about 160 metres will be closer to sort of maybe the 110 to 120 ball speed off the face.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to use an extra stiff, probably weighing the shaft between 60 and 70 grams as a weight of shaft, and then the loft of club will probably be about an 8.75 or an 8.5 degree lofted club to create the launch that you are doing with your 12 and a half degree ladies flicks. So it's got to fly the same sort of trajectory.
So of course there's, you know, what's the saying that, you know,
dry for show, putt for go.
Yes. I'm understanding that more and more.
Yes.
Because the art of the deal is in fact on the green, isn't it?
It is, but you've got to make the course as short as possible for yourself. So you do have to get down there as fast as you can.
Yep.
And so as an example, if you can't get off the tee, the course is very hard and your second and third shots become very crucial. So ladies golf, senior men's golf, someone who hits the ball less than 180 metres off the tee, fairway woods, 3, 5, 7 and 9 wood or a 6 hybrid are really important clubs to allow you to score. So if you can get on the green in 2, you've got a chance of that birdie that's probably slipped through your grasps in the last few rounds, but you are getting pars, so that means you're doing really
today.
Well.
Yeah, like, whoa, I'm party at Penny's, I tell you.
Did right.
It was, like, so satisfying. So what kind of, you know, I guess that all sports, there's always innovation, trends.
Yes.
You know, what's the buzz at the moment for us, you know, amateurs or us, you know, players who are recreational players?
Yeah, cool. Generally, it's going to be lighter is better.
Mm-hmm.
So even the fact of someone like Tiger Woods, who's not on our screen at the moment, but his clubs are lighter than what they were when he was playing in the 90s or early 2000s. Mm. So the equipment's made better through the graphite. And the drivers, they're made out of, a lot of them are made out of carbon fibre with titanium or carbon fibre faces now. So that's extremely cool, which is making the club lighter, which is allowing you to swing faster and hit it longer. Then there's a lot of innovation in regards to the way the club is shaped and where you're moving the weight within the club. So someone like TaylorMade at the moment are doing an extremely strong job in that area of manipulating the weight and pulling it around or changing the loft of the club. So within a driver especially, that's where it's leading technology.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts feeding through your fairway woods and hybrids and then into your irons. And even putters have changed a lot since the early 2000s, where they've got a lot bigger to make the club more stable, so your miss hits a lot better.
Mm.
That's what most of the brands are trying to do, and that doesn't matter what level of golf you're at.
Mm.
So it's about your bad shot. So when we're playing golf, as you know, coming fresh off the course, doesn't matter what level of golf you are, you have about 5 good shots, for your level per round, and the rest you're trying to improve the miss shot. So that's where the technology of club really comes into its to help you.
Yes, definitely. So, and I love all the different things you have to think about, and it's not ever particularly overwhelming. What I've found with a lot of women that I've been, who like me, have been starting up, and it's been such a great social, recreational thing to be doing with women friends, and a lot of them, you know, working on those woods, they're actually, you know, you do your driver, you're working on that, and then this middle bit of your game is like a lot of topping, a lot of, you know, skewering off the face and off to the side and stuff. So again, there's like a lot of different woods, and then there's the hybrids. Love a hybrid.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of different ways of skinning the cat, I suppose, and a lot of different learnings for different actions that you may need to do within the swing, but I'm sure Kevin's got you on track in regards to simplifying a lot of those thoughts. That's the biggest thing for a golf coach, but really it's if you can keep your shape for as long as you can within your golf swing, you're likely going to have a good shot. It's when you start to stand up and change your spine angle, not lifting your head, but changing your spine angle, gets you in a bit of a pickle, because as you imagine, that ball's only a few centimetres in height, so you don't have to move a long way to miss that ball. So keeping shape's a really important thing.
And so mindful of, you know, that we have a lot of people playing here in Kapiti and Horowhenua, and, you know, it is an ageing population, and something that you can take up as a sport and it can, you can stay with it and it'll stay with you for as long as possible. Of course, a lot of people on our courses, if they're kind of struggling a bit with the walking the distance, you can use a cart, it's fantastic, scooters, all sorts of things. What are the kind of equipment changes that people make as they are perhaps losing strength or flexibility?
Yeah, so that's when they move generally from their package or their first set or the set that they've had for their 20 years through their 30s all the way to their 50s. They might be starting to think about their next stage, knowing they can't move as fast. So what they do is they end up getting a different set makeup. Mm-hmm. So a traditional set that we probably see on TV with the strong hitting men, not the ladies, because they are a bit more innovative in mm-hmm. how they set up their clubs. But you quite often see a driver, a three wood, a long iron or a hybrid.
Right.
And then they move into four iron down to sandwich or pitching wedge with three wedges and a putter. Now, what you see now is different heads that are going to create different flights, and it's about hitting it higher rather than lower. So you're doing all the carry in the air and you get the control that way. So we're starting to see a lot more five woods, seven woods, nine woods, four, five, and six hybrids in the bag. And they're replacing that long iron position all the way down to a six iron.
Right. What would be your most popular club in that range of woods?
The new cool really is that seven wood and nine wood.
Oh, okay.
That are people putting in their hands.
Right.
And the reason for it is that if anyone sitting at home, I suppose, can picture that scoring shot that you're 140, 150, maybe even 120 out, that you need to hit it high and hold a green. Now, for me personally, that's a pitching wedge or a nine iron. I'm able to hit it into the sky and land it soft. When you're losing speed, you need to be able to create it with the longer shaft of the fairway wood,
right.
But then the loft and the depth of the sole of the head, so that gets the ball up high quickly and lands soft, which then allows you to score and get that birdie that you're
going to
get next time.
It was really exciting getting a par on the 18th hole at Ōtaki yesterday.
It is the best part about golf, and I still remember those moments now, 27 odd years ago.
Yeah.
They're so cool. The moment of improvement doesn't get better.
Mm. And so then the other thing is, obviously the clubs are, I guess, the most important thing, aside from, the colour of the bag and all that sort of thing. I love that. I love that golf is styly. It is. It is. It's very cool, styly and stuff. So I also wonder about the balls. There's a lot of different balls. And, of course, when I started out, there's the soft surface, not that they're a soft ball. And I've recently moved on to the kind of the not soft. So how do people decide what kind of like overall kind of ball they should be playing?
Well, that's a cool question. It's something that we across the company are trying our hardest to involve when you're looking at golf clubs. Mm. So it's such a thing as a ball fit. So you can jump on our launch monitors and try a couple of different types of balls now to actually see the difference. And there's a massive difference from one to another. Now, what the main, if I speak simply, the main thing is there's two-piece balls and there's multi-layered balls. Now, multi-layer balls are constructed of three or four or five-piece construction, the way it's built. And then they, most of the time, have a urethane cover. Now, that urethane cover is slightly softer, which then also then grips within the grooves to create the spin, which is then the control. So that's the constructed, there's more construction in them to then make them more expensive, which provides the performance, right?
Yeah.
Then there's the two-piece balls that are very simply constructed that are either hard or soft. Now, softer generally would probably be put into someone who swings slower, that then it springs off the face, gets the ball in the air a little bit easier, and harder ones generally would keep it a little bit lower. And now in those multi-layered balls, they have also hard and soft. So you can it's part of that refinement, like talking about that 7-wood or the 9.5 and 10.5 that we just help you with. And the fact that you've started asking the question already in your game is a sign of where you're at. And so if you're not stopping the ball quick enough on the green, close to the hole to get that birdie, quite often means that you haven't got a ball that haven't got enough spin on it. So then you're probably looking at those urethane cover, multi-layered balls will be your next purchase.
So is that the soft ones or the...
More premium price points. So they're going to range between about $60 to $120 for a dozen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The two-piece balls will range between about $30 and $60 for a dozen. Or lucky enough, when you come into us at the Golf Warehouse, we do a lot of multi-dozen buys where you could get four dozen or three dozen for $100 where mm-hmm. you get a bit more volume.
Right. So it's definitely worth having that. You know, asking those questions.
Yeah, just like you're trying the clubs, pop into the nearest store and we'll get you to try one of the ball that you want.
Yeah, because I've even tried doing things like, because I'm going up a distance, and then I might be kind of like getting onto the green if it's a par three, but then it's rolling on off.
Correct, yeah.
So I kind of tried the other day, like, oh, should I go do a different ball when I do the par three?
Yeah. It can be a thing. You can only use that same ball on, or whatever you start the hole on, you have to finish the hole regardless of when you lose it. What we can do, there's two things really. It's a little bit the ball, but also the club that you're coming into the green with that's probably not getting enough height. And there's a little bit of contact. So there's kind of, I suppose, three aspects to it. But, we're happy to take you through that process to sort of explain it.
Oh, lots of interesting things about the sport, isn't there?
It's fun. It doesn't matter what level of golf you are. You can go through the experience of what a tour player does in our facilities, which is really cool. Mm. And we're doing our best to get to the stage of that the customer doesn't have to ask that question, that we're sort of providing it before you ask it. But at the same time, you might have been in the golf game, as an example, for 20 years that have never popped into one of our stores. So the next time you do pop in, we're happy to help you out.
Yeah. And, you know, as I was listening to, watching one of the Opens recently, and commentators were saying, you know, what other sport is there where you can go and play where a Rory plays or where a Grant Fox plays? How cool is that? And so a little question I ask all the guests on this show is, if you could have a round of golf with anybody who's a professional player in the world, who would you pick to do a round with and where would you want to play that round?
Yeah, mine's pretty easy and pretty fast. So Tiger Woods helped me get into the game in regards to the way he made it so fun.
Yeah.
And then it'll be at Augusta.
Oh.
Because it's a place that you really can't get to unless you know the right people. And so I've been lucky enough to visit the place but not play the place. So I'd love to have Tiger Woods. I'm sure I'd have someone like my dad there possibly in that four ball. And then there'll be someone else. If Michael Jordan joined that group, it'd be more special, right?
Why not? Or a Justin Timberlake. It's amazing all the big, those other kind of stars that are like really.
It's the real special thing that you do get to meet. Like, again, I've been in this industry for 22 years working. The people who we've been able to mix and mingle with, that can be fun. But at the same time, I personally get just as much joy dealing with another Penny coming in and telling me your life story, and we get to know the customer pretty well.
Yeah.
It's a really cool experience and cool learnings to learn off you as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, that's why I think, one of the reasons we started up this show is because there's so much to talk about and it's just all really interesting, the different stories. Mm. So let's, fingers crossed for that round with the Tiger and Augusta. So if you did, say, can you not even get to, go online and book around there or something?
No, you have to be with a member.
Right.
And then to be a member, you have to be voted in.
Oh, wow.
It's not just nobody. No. John Keyes, one person within New Zealand who's very lucky to be a member.
Really?
And Craig Heatley within New Zealand is very lucky enough to be a member. But I don't think there's any others.
Oh, this is a good reality check for me. Thank you. So, luckily, we're here on the Kapiti Coast. We have some very good courses. So,
yes,
of course, we have the Paraparaumu Beach Course that's, you know, in the top 100, they say.
Yeah, a very special course.
Yes.
And if you haven't been to it, I'd strongly recommend going to give it a go. And
yes.
Don't be daunted that it's too hard for you, because there's T blocks so you can make the course shorter and be suitable for your level.
All right.
So, jump in and go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, who knows, you could be having a great day like I just had.
Yeah, dead right. Nothing better.
Nothing better. Hey, look, this is such a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing all your knowledge and all that experience. And, you know, hopefully some of the listeners will be getting along to the Golf Warehouse and checking out some of the great products. I certainly have, the number of times I've been in there and upgraded, or just started out and then upgraded and needed to get some more balls, don't know where they went, and then the shoes and stuff like that, really good help. So thank you so much.
Oh, anytime. And there's two stores. If you can't make it to Lower Hutt, there's one in Thorndon, but there's, as I say, there's 15 nationwide, soon to be 16. So if you're ever travelling, I'm sure there'll be one close to you that can help you out.
Lovely. Hey, thank you so much, Hamish.
Anytime,
that's
Penny.
Great. Good to have our chat.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye. And this is Penny Gaylor, your host for Let's Talk Golf. Pleasure, and thank you for listening, everybody. Take care.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.